A lot of business owners start out as podcast guests before they start hosting their own show. And that's a great strategy for a few reasons. You get a chance to practice your on-air presence, you get exposure to new audiences, you get to connect with the host of the shows you guest on who can become amazing partners down the road, and you can test out different offers and opt-ins with different audiences to see how they perform. And that's really just scratching the surface, but as a getting started in audio marketing strategy, it can't be beat. If you do it and it starts to work, then eventually you're probably going to want your own podcast, or your audience is going to start demanding it. That's what happened to my guest today. I'm Megan Doherty, and this is The Company Show, where we talk about how to create an effective and profitable podcast when it's just one of the many, many things you have to do every week. Nikki Rausch is the CEO of SalesMaven, a three-time author, host of the SalesMaven podcast, and has over 25 years of selling experience, helping entrepreneurs and small business owners sell successfully and authentically. Not only that, she is extremely generous with her time, knowledge, and her strategies. Nikki is podcasting to incredible effect using multiple episode formats for specific different business goals. And in today's episode, you're going to get to hear all of them. Here's the conversation. I know you're going to enjoy it. Nikki, thank you so much for joining me and all of us here at The Company Show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Perfect. So let's jump right into things by going far into the past, into 2020, when you first decided, you know, my business, the SalesMaven, we've got to have a podcast. What made you think you had to have one, and how did you go about getting started?
I'm going to jump back 2 years from there. So in 2018, I started guesting on a lot of podcasts. That wasn't a marketing effort on my part. I just started getting asked to be a guest on podcasts. I was getting asked so much, and I realized that the majority of my leads were coming from me guesting on podcasts. That's how people were finding their way to me. And the majority of my clients heard me on a podcast. So that is when in 2018, I was like to pour some gasoline on a fire that's going well, right? Like, let's build it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I hired a company to start pitching me to podcasts. And so over the next 2 years, I did a ton of podcast guesting, even more than what I'd been doing before. And what started happening kind of at the end of 2019 or maybe mid-2019, people started saying to me, oh, I binge you on podcasts. And I was like, how can you binge me? I don't even have a podcast. They would say like, oh, I just go into Apple and I search your name and I just go like boom, boom, boom down the list of every podcast you've been on. So that was an indicator to me that people wanted to hear more from me.
I mean, indicator, neon sign that people...
Yeah, neon sign. I need big flashing neon signs. Yeah. So it was a big neon flashing sign. Oh, people want to hear more. And it just gave me the confidence to launch my own podcast so then I could control the message. I could, you know, focus on the things I wanted to focus on the episodes while still guesting. And I still guest, obviously, here I am today with you. But so I still do tons of guesting on podcasts. That still is my main source of lead generation into the business. And then my podcast was really just to give people a place that maybe they heard me on one or two podcasts and wanted more. Now they've got coming up on, well, just over 4 years of having my podcast. So there's plenty of episodes for them to binge if they choose.
Now, would you like to name drop the company that you're working with for pitching? If you want to share a little love with them, we can link them in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Your expert guest, Julie Fry, is my pitching company. And I've been working with Julie and her team for at least 4 years. I'm going to say coming up on 4 years, and absolutely fantastic. The thing that I will say that differentiates them from many other, you know, having a podcast, I get pitched a lot, is that they write such specific pitch to each podcast host that I often get selected to be on people's podcasts, and they'll say to me, you're the only person I've ever said yes to coming on my podcast, and I can attribute that 100% to Julie and her team's effort. So your expert guest.
Amazing. It's a good record. So the details for that will be in the show notes, because as a policy, there are third-party pitching agencies that are great and do a great job. obviously we're working with one of them, and that's awesome. And as you know, as a podcaster, there's lots of really bad ones.
There's a lot of really bad
ones. You've got to share that information.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the first iteration of your show. So, you know, you wanted to create this almost like a landing place for the people who are hearing you. Getting back on your process, what was the first iteration like? Did you do guests? Did you do solos? How did you start off format-wise?
Well, the first thing I decided is I needed to know what was my outcome in having a podcast, besides just like putting my message out there. Like, what did I want the podcast to do? Because it costs money to have a podcast. So I wanted to see a return on my investment. So I specifically decided that I was going to use my podcast to drive people to my group coaching program, which is the Sales Maven Society. So everything in the initial part of the podcast when I launched, the goal was that it would give people a taste of what it was like to coach with me and kind of my messaging to see if my message resonated with them. And then the next logical step would be to come join the society. And then once you're in the society, there's private coaching options and classes and things that people can take from there. So that was my initial, like the whole point was to drive it, the Sales Maven Society. So I started with two types of episodes. I did solo episodes of me just teaching a topic, a sales technique. And then I would do on-air coaching calls with people from my Sales Maven Society. So that was one of the benefits of being in the society, is that you could get your kind of feet wet of what it's like to be on a podcast, and you would get free coaching from me.
I love that. So that's kind of in the podcasting for business context that we have here at the company show. We call this a demonstrative podcast, where you're really kind of using the podcast as a vehicle to show exactly this is the way that we walk the talk. And so this is how you can see exactly what you'd be in for. Absolutely love it. Great strategy. Have you kept it the same since you've started podcasting, or have you changed it? What's it look like now?
It's evolved a little bit. Now, I still do on-air coaching calls. I still do solo episodes. Maybe a year in, I added success stories. So I would bring clients on and they would be able to share specifically about one technique or something that they used and the kind of success that they got. So again, it was another way to get their feet wet if they wanted the exposure of being on a podcast. And it was great for my business because it highlights the value of what people get when they coach with me. So that was about a year in. And then a couple years ago, just for my own, because I like new and different, I like to change things up a little bit, I added one other type of podcast episode, which comes from my background in neurolinguistic programming, where we believe that there is a structure to excellence. And I learned through NLP how to interview people that are achieving a very high level in a particular area of their life or business. And there's a set list of questions. So I wanted to bring a little bit more of my NLP background into the podcast and interview experts on a particular topic. One, from the learning standpoint for me of getting to learn how these experts are achieving these exceptional results, but also to deliver huge value to my listeners, because it's a different format than what they would hear from a typical like guest interview. Like the guest is not directing the interview. Like I'm selecting the topic and I have the questions, and it allows the guest to show up and really just be themselves. They don't have to prep for it. They're not on. I'm asking them questions that are super easy for them to answer off the top of their head, but it actually gets a lot of structure from the kind of answers that they give of like how they're achieving these results. So those have been really fun for me. And so that's the same. So those four formats are the ones that I still use to this day.
And what a great teaser, because now I'm desperately curious as to the format of these interviews. And so is everyone listening. So nicely done, Nikki.
Thank you. Go check out the Mastering Excellence series on the Sales Maven podcast.
Yeah, we will absolutely do that. It's the Mastering Excellence series on the Sales Maven podcast. Right. Marvelous.
Yeah.
So you've just talked about a bunch of different ways that it's integrated into your business. How are you tracking the success of how well these different episode formats are working at their stated goals? What kind of metrics are you looking at?
So obviously I look at my downloads, right? Like what are the episodes that are getting the most downloads, which I will say can be a little bit all over the board. The Mastering Excellence series have done really well as far as downloads. Oftentimes because the expert themselves has an audience and
their audience get to hear their expert that they love and adore answer questions they've never been asked before. And so it's a new way to like tap in to their people. So those episodes do really well. And then my solo episodes do really well.
Always the solos.
Yeah. And I've shortened them. I will say my solo episodes I've shortened because that's very much me. Like I like the, here's the strategy, here's how you use it, or here's the language, this is what you say, this is how you do it, and boom, done. And people seem to like those episodes. So those, I get the two most response. But, you know, I say that, and my clients still really love to hear me coach, and they still love to hear people's success stories too.
Downloads are usually, I put the bottom of the list. It's nice to know people are listening, but that doesn't actually mean anything for the business, you know, because if you get 10,000 downloads, that in $5 will get you Perrier, right?
Right.
What other ways in your business are you seeing the podcast making an impact, and how are you measuring that?
Okay, so one of the questions that I ask every single new client that comes in is, how did we get connected? So the typical answer is, I heard you on a podcast, I started listening to your podcast, and then I signed up to work with you. So I also use dynamic ads. There's an offer, right? There's an opportunity for somebody to take that next step. What I haven't been able to figure out yet is, how many episodes do people need to listen to before they're ready to like take that next step? Because I have people that'll say like, oh, I heard one episode and here I am. And then I have other people that say, I listened to your whole back catalog before I signed up to work. And I'm like, that's a lot of episodes to listen to. So it's kind of all over the board, but I definitely know for sure that people check out my podcast often before they hire me.
That means it's almost certainly having an effect on your sales cycle length.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
I wish there was a really good way to figure out like how many listens an individual get. I mean, some of the technology is improving around that a little bit. Some of the companies now are making smart links where you can kind of get better visibility on what's happening, but it's still really largely opaque, unless you've got like a massively intense landing page system with a bunch of different short links and nobody has time for that. What about content repurposing in social media? Is the content you create on your podcast living anywhere else in your business, or is it all? Tell us about that.
Okay. So I'm a big believer in recycle, repurpose, reuse. Mm-hmm. So any piece of content that I put into the market is probably going to be used at least 5 other times. That's kind of my rule, is I want to see 5 other pieces of content created from it. So there's usually 2 weekly posts that are put on social media about the podcast. The episode is also, the full episode with the video piece of it is put into YouTube. So that gets repurposed there. And then select episodes I put into some of my training content, especially ones that are solo episodes that are me teaching a concept. So people can access those in my resource center. So I have a resource center called the Sales Maven Studio, different than the society, but the studio, people get access to specific episodes that are curated. So that content is curated in specific categories of sales related techniques. So it makes it easy for them to go, oh, I need something around business development. What episodes does Nikki have about that? So they can go and find them very simply.
And how is that gated? Is that a paid product or is it like an opt-in product?
That's a paid product. Awesome. Yeah.
Perfect. So how does your podcast and guesting, we'll lump them together for this, how does that compare to, I mean, you said it's the best, but by how much is it the best compared to other marketing activities like, say, personal referrals or any other kind of marketing you're engaged in?
I would say about 90% of my business comes from podcasting.
90%.
It's a huge amount. And I can track it consistently. I can track it back every year and go, how did this person initially get exposed to me? They initially got exposed to me because they heard me on somebody else's podcast. They might have then come and listened to my podcast. Then they take me up on something. Obviously, I do have referral business as well. So my clients are great about shouting from the rooftops their, you know, results and encouraging other people to come. And when they need some support around sales, then I'm the person they recommend. But again, about 90%. And I can track so much money I've spent on other avenues. You know, I've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on paid ads, and I can never see a return on investment for that. I've hired marketing companies, social media management companies, and I just cannot get an ROI on those where I can consistently see that from my podcast guesting and my own podcast that the ROI is there. One of the things that to me makes podcast guesting, and not just guesting, but podcasting so incredibly valuable is that the content is evergreen.
Yeah.
So I'm still getting leads into my business every single month from podcasts that I was on 4 and 5 years ago. Like every month somebody, and to them it's new content because they're just finding it for the first time and going like, oh, I just heard you on this podcast. And I think I haven't been on that podcast in 4 years.
I love that. And I think you're so right about it being evergreen. And I love what an impact it's been making for your business. But I'm dollars to donuts. There's people listening to this as they hear it and they're thinking, okay, but yeah, she's got a big, huge podcast, already famous, all these things. Would you give a ballpark as not necessarily real numbers, but kind of like when you are talking about how many downloads your own podcast gets, what range are you talking in?
So my podcast gets about anywhere from 3,500 to 4,500 downloads per month. So that's divide by four, right? So it's not a huge number. And actually, my numbers are a little bit down this year compared to where they were last year. But
almost everyone's
as I think everybody is, yeah. Right? So it's not like I haven't changed anything, or I don't think I've dropped the ball as far as the content that I'm putting out. It's just things are, you know, different this year. But with that said, I can still track business that comes in from the podcast. So I started out with maybe less than 100 per episode. When I first started, I did have a built-in audience, or somewhat of a built-in audience, I will say, from all of my guesting. You know, I had built an email list. So every week we send out something to the list saying like, here's the latest episode. This is what you'll learn in it. That still consistently goes out. So I do have a way to touch some of my listeners that have become email subscribers. But no, my numbers are not huge by any stretch of the imagination. When you look at the big podcasts out there, I don't consider myself a big podcast. But there is something to be said in sales and also in podcasting that it's about being consistent. And I'm consistent every single week. There's a new episode and hopefully fresh content for people that are like, oh, I haven't heard Nikki talk about that before. Or maybe I've heard her talk about that before, but not in this way. And so that's a new piece of content for me to, you know, implement into my business.
Yeah, I think it's so often something that gets in people's way or prevents them from starting a podcast is the worry that, you know, it would be so difficult to become one of the big podcasts. But the most successful podcasts, when you're actually looking at the impact it can have on a business, are very rarely those huge ones. They're businesses in and of themselves. So they're supporting broadcast media companies, their existing to-be businesses. But a podcast like yours that is so well-structured and is leveraged so well, it doesn't need those big numbers to be profitable and to be effective. So thank you so much for sharing all of the details about that.
If I can just add one piece to that, what you just said, we track when I guest on a podcast, we use PrettyLinks through my website for, you know, tracking for downloads. And I can look at some of the big podcasts that I have been on as a guest, and it's brought me like very few subscribers to my email list. And then I can look at podcasts that's relatively new, or even by my stretch of imagination and where my podcast is, this would be considered a very small podcast. And yet the amount of subscribers, new subscribers that come onto my email list from me guesting on that show can be significantly more than some of these bigger podcasts. And podcasts grow over time, right? Like your numbers grow and all of that stuff contributes. And so you start to move up in the rankings and all these things by having more content that helps move up in the ranking. So I don't say no to being on smaller podcasts. I certainly don't say no to being on bigger podcasts either, but I've been on podcasts where they're like, we get 100,000 downloads every episode and I get like 3 subscribers from it. Go on to another podcast that are like, we don't even have 100 downloads every episode and I get 50 subscribers. So you can't really, I would say, to your point, like don't not start your podcast because you feel like, well, nobody's listening. Well, how many people are actually listening? Because if you get to talk to 100 people every single week, they listen to what you have to say, where else can you go and speak to 100 people every single week?
It's such a good point. It's so easy to forget when it's you and your mic and your recording platform that there are going to be people listening, and each one of those downloads, you know, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 100, maybe it's 150. Each one of those is a human. I mean, a couple might be bots, yes, but they're mostly humans.
That's a real person.
Yeah, a real person who has given you freely of their time.
Yes.
It really is, it's almost an intimate thing. Like, I know the podcast that I listen to, I feel like I know the hosts. It even happens with clients sometimes. It gets a little awkward because I'm listening to them every week and I feel like I know them. Like, we're best friends. And then I get in an actual call with them. It's like, oh, wait, no, that's not the kind of relationship that we have. It really is amazing. And I think, you know, what you're saying is when people do jump on a call with you, eventually when they have heard enough or they're ready in their own journey to like, okay, I need this sales support, I'm going to talk to Nikki. The conversation is so easy because they're so ready and they know you so well. It's almost jarring when you talk to someone who has this parasocial relationship with you. It's really cool.
It's so cool. I'm so honored by, I will say, you know, two of the biggest compliments that I get when I work with somebody new and they'll say, oh, you don't know this, Nikki, but we're best friends. And I'm like, we are. Okay, good. I'm in. Let's go. Or they'll say, they'll repeat back to me, like, I know that this is this way, you know, XYZ strategy, because I heard you talk about it on these podcasts. And then they'll say to me, Nikki, you're no different when you get on a call with you than when I listen to you on your podcast. Like, you're the same. And I always think, part of me, like, well, I hope they're not disappointed because I don't know how to be anything other than me. Like, this is what you get. Like, what you see, what you hear, mm-hmm. this is what you get in a coaching call too. But I do think it creates safety for them because, you know, you're not going in blind of being like, oh, am I going to be on a call with a sales coach? She's super pushy or aggressive or is asking me to do things that make my skin crawl. Like, they know when they get on a call with me, like, oh, Nikki, she's all about making it easy. And if I don't like something, I can tell her and it's not awkward and weird. And so, yeah, it's super flattering for somebody to be like, you're just like how you are on your podcast. Yeah, that's me.
I love that people are sharing your own teachings back to you. That's doing such a service to them. That's such a high level of education. You're creating the shared vocabulary and the shared understanding of the processes. So you're not only getting more clients from your podcast, you're getting better clients from your podcast because they've got this baseline understanding. That's not something that we talk about in podcasting enough as being a huge benefit for a business owner. But if you spend all of this time educating someone before they sign a contract with you or take a program or join us, they're doing all of the prep work. They're training themselves to be good clients. It's awesome.
It's awesome. It is awesome. Like, you see results faster, right? Because you're not having to a lot of times go through really basic stuff because they're like, oh, I know the basics. Like, I know that you teach about rapport first and relationship always. And I know you've got this 5-step process to a sales conversation. I've read the book on the selling staircase. Like, they come already like prepped. So when I say something about, oh, that's a buying signal, what are you doing when you get that? And they're like, oh, I know. I didn't realize that was a buying signal, but I know what a buying signal is because I read the book around it, right?
So they get great results from you too, right? Because they're ready to apply this knowledge.
They're ready to implement.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. And I'd love to talk again about the structure because you've got, you know, your different episode formats that you're using in different ways. And the demonstrative one, so when you're doing the live coaching especially, it's so effective at engaging your audience, giving a gift back to your community. But it's not perfect for every industry. So I think one of the reasons, and let me know if I'm wrong about this, is that there is such a strong teaching component and that it's a situation selling. Every business owner has to do it at some point, but everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different. So it's that basic theory applied to many different humans that makes the strategy really effective. Do you think that plays into it, or is this something that you see could work for absolutely any kind of business? Or do you think, you know, this educational component to what you're teaching makes this a particularly good strategy for your business?
Well, maybe the on-air coaching wouldn't work for every type of business, but the type of episode that I would encourage people to consider is the success story mm-hmm. with your clients and talking about their successes, because there is something about somebody else talking about the results that they got from the work that they did with you, that they always have more credibility because, you know, I can sit here until I'm blue in the face, tell you like, oh no, really, believe me, I'm super good at what I do. But somebody else going like, Nikki's a game changer. Like she transformed my business. I brought in another $100,000. Like when they're saying those types of things, it's different than me saying like, I teach people how to make more money. And they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Who doesn't say that? But somebody saying like, I brought in an extra $100,000 in business just from working with Nikki. Then people are like, what now? Like, wow. Okay. She must be really good at what she does. So it elevates your credibility when somebody else is saying it. And they will also put a different spin on it than how you might say it. And I'm always looking for like, what's the secret sauce that other people see about me? And giving them an opportunity to talk about it on a podcast oftentimes gives me like, oh, I would have never framed it that way. Or a lot of times they'll say like, oh, Nikki taught me this technique, and they'll describe it in a way that's different than maybe how I would describe it. And then I'm like, if people are consistently describing it this way, I need to change the way I'm talking about it because that's what's resonating with the client. So it's really great for feedback.
Have you ever gotten any pushback? Basically, have you ever invited someone to join you for a success story and they're like, no, don't want to talk about it? Because I guess, and maybe this is the Canadian thing where I'm just like, oh, that feels like a little bit too shine the spotlight on my selfie. So I'm asking you to tell me why I'm wrong about that because I know I am.
Yeah. Sometimes people feel a little uncomfortable. So there might need to be a little bit of coaching through that, like the benefit that you're actually giving me a gift, right? So when you position it as this is a gift for me and a gift for any potential person who's thinking about working with me to get to hear your successes, like that you could position it that way. Because I think when people realize they're kind of doing you a favor, they feel less weird about talking about themselves. So you could position it, I would position it that way to a client. And then, you know, there are certain people that don't want, I mean, I get this consistently in my business where I have people who will shout from the rooftops about, you know, me and the work that I do. And, you know, they'll leave me 5-star reviews and they'll do all these great things. And then there's other people that are like, I don't want anybody to know that I work with a sales coach. And I just respect that. Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I respect that. Like people get asked, would you like to be a guest on the podcast? And would you share about this story, or would you be willing to whatever? My on-air coaching calls, I let them dictate the questions. I'm looking for somebody to ask me this question. I just find I'm better off the cuff. So I just want people to ask me the thing they want to ask me. And I feel like if it resonates with somebody who's listening, then that was the whole purpose of doing it. And the person who is willing to go on the podcast and ask me the question and be vulnerable in that way walks away with something of value. Yes, definitely people will say no to it. And there are other people who love to come and talk about, you know, what they've achieved. And sometimes they're not even relating it back to like, I learned this from Nikki and I learned that from Nikki and I learned, which is totally fine. Like, okay, that's fine too. But, you know, people still get the point of like, they're on her podcast. They hired Nikki. So there's some piece there that relates back to credibility on my part.
Perfect. Always. Thank you. Amazing. Thank you. This has been awesome. You've been so generous with kind of the details and the inner works of everything. I'm so appreciative. Everyone listening is so appreciative. Where can people find you and who should?
Okay. I always like to wrap the where can you find me around a gift. So I have an ebook that's called Closing the Sale.
That's going to have a unique pretty link so everyone knows that they came from. Yep. That's
yes. Absolutely. So you can grab it by going to yoursalesmaven.com/company. So this is specific to the podcast. So then we'll be connected. And the people that I work with are business owners, entrepreneurs, people who feel a little bit uneasy or uncomfortable with the selling process or have sales situations that often kind of leave them feeling like, I don't know what to say or do here. And I just need some help. Like I am a great resource for that.
Amazing. And so that was yoursalesmaven.com/company.
Yep.
Beautiful. And one last one. I didn't prep you for this at all, but if someone's listening to this and they're like, I'm going to give her one episode, what's the one episode of your podcast somebody should go listen to get to know you and what you do?
I'm going to say the very first one because I actually break down Bold the move. Selling staircase.
First podcast episode. Well, of course, you guessed it before. You weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the My Signature Framework, a sales conversation, I think getting an idea of what is that framework and how would that serve me in my business? Oftentimes, it's a huge eye-opener for people because, you know, step two in the process is creating curiosity, for instance. And a lot of times when you ask a business owner, do you know how to create curiosity when you're talking about your product or service or business? They go, what now? What do you mean? Create curiosity. I didn't know that was a thing. So to be able to have some awareness around, oh, actually, there's a technique of how to create curiosity that allows for me to have more conversations with more ideal clients. Now sales gets easier.
I love it. Nikki, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I absolutely love how many different ways Nikki is using her podcast and her guesting, nurturing members of her community, creating paths for new leads to take so they get to know her and her work, networking with experts, and demonstrating her expertise. This is exactly how podcasts should work for businesses. So if you haven't heard the Sales Maven podcast, check it out at yoursalesmaven.com and make sure to get her free ebook at the very cleverly custom created landing page, yoursalesmaven.com/company. That's yoursalesmaven.com/company. And that right there is another strategy that you should adopt when you are a guest. Attributing the results of your podcast guest appearances can be a challenge, but when you have a dedicated landing page and opt-in form for each and every podcast you appear on, you have a lot more visibility on how well your message resonated with different audiences. And that is data that you can use to be more strategic about the kinds of appearances you make and the results you can expect from them. Fantastic. Next week, I've got a very special episode for you. You may already know that I'm publishing a book this year in September. It's called Podcasting for Business. And by the time next week's episode drops, it's going to be available for pre-order. And anyone who pre-orders is going to get a totally free ticket to the all virtual and all recorded Podcasting for Business conference this year, happening from November 13th to 15th. Applications for speakers are still open, by the way, and will be until Monday, July 29th. Get the details at pfbcon.com/apply. That's pfbcon.com/apply. So to celebrate all of this, I'm going to be doing a reading of one of my favorite chapters here on the company show, which I'm not going to spoil now with a preview. I'll also be sharing the details of how you can pre-order the book and get your free ticket to PFBCon. As always, I've been your host, Megan Doherty, and the company show is produced by the whole team at One Stone Creative. If you like this episode, it would mean the world if you could share it with a business owner who you think should have a podcast. Until next time.